All right, thank you for that. We're in Deuteronomy 32 this morning, so you want to keep your finger there. This is struggling. Hold on. Put it on that side. There you go. We're going to look at a subject that I think will help us and encourage us. I have 10 points, so don't freak out. They'll all be really short. But when we think in our society, healthcare is a huge business. How many know what I'm talking about? Just not healthcare, but being healthy. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder if I were to ask you to raise your hand, how many of you own some type of exercise equipment that you bought that is either in a room at your house, or it is out in your garage, or if you've come to that point, it's outside, and you don't use it ever? I'm not going to ask. Now, I could look around and make some guesses, okay? Now, I don't have health equipment. I'm just naturally this buff. It just comes natural. I was born that way. But it's big business. People exercise equipment. I could ask, too, how many of you have a membership to a gym? And you just don't ever go. But you feel better because I own the equipment and I have the card to get into the gym, so therefore I feel healthier. Supplements are big. And I like supplements. I take a huge handful every couple times a day. I'm all for supplements. Books and magazines, blogs, they have, you know, clothing lines for health, all kind of food choices, you know. Organic, and you go to a restaurant, they have, you know, their menu at the bottom, they'll have the healthy menu. It's two items, right? And they're not tasty, and one of them's tofu, so you don't want that. One thing is clear, though. The bigger the healthcare industry gets, the less faithfully people actually are involved or follow it. It's just big business, but yet, health-wise, they would tell you that probably in America, we're one of the most unhealthy countries in this world. Why is that? We buy the books, we join the club, we have the equipment. The problem is we don't follow the plan. That's the issue. Man, that's always a bummer. I remember I had some relatives one time years ago, and they decided they wanted to lose some weight. So three of my aunts joined Weight Watchers. And they went for a few weeks, and they came to their first weigh-in. And this is what they told me. They went to the weigh-in, and they all lost weight. And they were so excited, and they were so fired up, they celebrated by going out to eat. They never went back. We just don't follow the plan. You know, that's a lot like, you say, where are you going with this? I don't know, I'm just having a good time. But that's a lot like our Christianity. We know the things that will make us spiritually healthy. We have the book. We come to church. We have the bumper sticker. We have the little plastic Jesus fish eating Darwin, okay? We say the right things. Some of us may even serve in a ministry, sing in the choir, and do all those things which are good and yet we should do. And yet, if we're honest, our spiritual health is not very good. Or our spiritual health, if we look at the direction of it, is deteriorating. It's not going very well. In our text, we're reading a psalm or song of Moses. It's written right before his death. He has praised the Lord for who he is and what he does. He starts with God's attributes and his worthiness to be worshipped. And by the way, God is worthy to be worshipped. He reminds Israel of their history and their corruption and how they went bad and how God has still worked in their life. And he's letting them know of what's coming and the opportunity they have ahead of them. But then he gives a fitting prophecy of what could happen to them, and to be real honest with them, what eventually will happen to them once they do enter the promised land. The land that God had for them to live, that God's blessings were there if they would just do what God said and follow his plan. But they're not going to. We read and saw in Deuteronomy the name Jeshurun. It's just a symbolic name for the children of Israel. It really means the upright one. God had judged his people who would not go into the land because of their disobedience. And now it's 40 years later. They're about time to go into the to this promised land finally after their long delay. And God's just given them a warning and trying to help them. But we all know the story that they did not completely follow it. The Israelites were very fickle and had turned from God before, and God's letting them know about that. God wanted them to win the battles in the land and get the victories. They did that. And as long as they follow God and were doing the right thing, every battle they were going to fight, they were going to win because God was going to fight the battle for them. There was only one battle that they could lose that would cause them to lose to their enemies and lose out on all the blessings that God had for them. We read the story in Numbers of Balaam, and how he goes and he's supposed to curse the children of Israel for Balak, and he says, I can't do it, God won't let me do it. And you know the whole story, the donkey talks to him, and if you read that whole story, the only one who actually made any sense in the story was the donkey. But after it's all said and done, what Balaam did is he told Balak how to get the children of Israel cursed. He said, I can't ask God to curse them. God's not going to curse them. But if they do something, then they will bring God's cursing upon themselves. And that was worshiping idols. He said, get them to disobey God, and you don't have to worry about them being cursed. God will curse them. And that's what God is warning them about. So what was this thing that we're going to talk about today that hurt them, that they could not overcome? It was God's blessing and prosperity that he was going to bring into their life. That's why the song was written. God, it says, God had sent them, not just here, but in many other cases, I'm going to give you a land you didn't fight for. I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. I'm going to give you fields and vineyards that you didn't plant. I'm giving you all this good stuff. And what's going to happen to them, they're going to let that prosperity to cause them to become spiritually unhealthy. That's the temptation you and I face today. We got saved and God saved us from hell, and now God wants to work in our life, and he wants us to be spiritually healthy. He wants us to be spiritually prosperous. But what happens is when those blessings start to come, we get spiritually unhealthy and we stop doing the things that bring God's blessing on our life. So this morning, I want us to look at these verses, and I want us to see briefly 10 factors that cause us to become spiritually unhealthy. Let's go through them. First of all, we become spiritually unhealthy when we become spiritually unfit. Look at verse 15. Here's what he says about them. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. What happened to them is they became spiritually unfit. They were taking the blessings in, but that's all. They weren't doing anything with that blessing that God was bringing into their life. You know how that's how it works. When we have more calories and things coming in than we're burning off, we tend to get a little bit out of shape. We're not running, we're not exercising, all those different things. So they were taking all of this in, and spiritually speaking, they were not fit. That was a result of abundance. You know what kills Christianity in this country? We have abundance of God's blessings. And we have accepted this type of prosperous Christianity that just wants to take in but never wants to give out. We must be very careful about this. What happens to us, think this through, we start to substitute the things from God for God himself. We start to substitute God's blessing and what he's doing in our life for a relationship with God. And we become spiritually unfit. We have a whole segment of Christianity that worships prosperity. And I wouldn't watch it, and I tell you not to watch it. It's false doctrine. But, TBN network, the totally bogus network? That's not Christianity. Some lady with her hair that's seven stories high. They're wearing $1,000 dresses, asking you to plant money in their ministry so that they can live opulent lifestyles. They have guys that preach on there that pray that God allows them to buy $50 million airplane. Listen, that's not Christianity. And by the way, that kind of Christianity doesn't work over in third world countries. Hey, why don't they take that message to Cambodia? Because it's not true and it doesn't work. And they might want to read the New Testament. Okay? I don't see Paul with a big airplane. I mean, when he went into town, he got beat. He didn't stay in the nicest hotel. But we have this kind of Christianity where all we want to do is take in and we never want to give out. Listen, that makes us spiritually unfit. No different than somebody that never gets up and never goes for a walk and never does anything and all they do is sit around and eat bonbons all day. We're not going to be healthy that way. We're spiritually unfit. Number two, that leads us to become spiritually unstable. It says, then he forsook God which made him. Because he became spiritually unfit, that led him to become spiritually unstable, and so he forsakes God. We want to serve God with our life, and the next week we can't even show up to church. One week we want to be a missionary to Antarctica, the next week we wouldn't hand a tract to anybody. We're spiritually unstable. We forsook the God which made him. Too many Christians are up and down. I was a guy early when we were over in the Pacific building in the early days of this church. He came very regularly, was in our church, and he quit coming. And a few years ago, I hadn't seen him in years, and he shows up in the parking lot. And I'm like, how you doing, man? I haven't seen you. It was a Thursday night service. And we're talking for a few minutes. He goes, yeah, I want to get my life back right, you know, and all that stuff. He goes, you know, I'm actually thinking I want to go to the Bible college. What do you think I should do? I'm like, you might want to start with coming to church. He goes, no, I'm here from now on. Didn't come back. Well, see, that's how we are. We're so unstable, we forsake God because we're just basking in it. Now we're unfit and we are unstable. Some of us only come to God when we want something. And once we get it, we forsake him. And I'm not going to go through the whole story. The lady that came to our church one day, she showed up in our Sunday school class, and her and her husband, they had been divorced, but they were still living together because he hadn't found a place to live. And she's like, he's a pagan and all that. So went by the house, won him to the Lord. He got saved, and they got their relationship right. They got remarried. That's what she wanted. She wanted something. And as soon as they got remarried, she pulled them out of church. Guess what happened? They were right back in the mess they were before. Unstable. Third, we become spiritually undervalued. Look at verse 5. And lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. When you lightly esteem something, you don't see it as important as it really is. You don't see the importance behind it. What did they undervalue? They undervalued the rock of their salvation. You know who that is? That's God. We undervalue God so often. We all talk about, oh, he's my everything, but in our life, he's not anything. We undervalue him. Listen, without God, you're not going to make it in this world. I want the things that God gives me, but I don't want God himself. You are missing out. And the things that God gives us are a result of our relationship with him. It's a result of understanding how important he is in our life. Our Sunday school class, and I mean yours, if you taught on the same lesson about joy, Jesus said, he told his disciples, don't be excited because you're going out and you're doing all these miracles and you're casting out demons and you're doing all this stuff. He goes, you want to be excited about something? Be excited that your name is written down in heaven. What he's saying is, let's bring it down to the baseline. Jesus loved you and he saved you. But we undervalue that. How often, when's the last time you thought about your salvation? When's the last time you thought about the fact that God wanted to have a relationship with you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins so it would be possible. We forget all that. We forget about how important our Bibles are. We lightly esteem the things of God. We are spiritually undervalued. Look at verse 16. Then we become spiritually unfaithful. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. Now, we're not going to look at the verses, but if you look at Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, he talks about false gods. Exodus 34, he reiterates it again. All throughout the Old Testament, he reiterates that they are his people. They are not supposed to cheat on him with false gods, and yet that's exactly what they did. They were spiritually unfaithful. Do you understand that's the picture God gave to the children of Israel when they would turn from him? Like a spouse cheating on their married partner. Or just put it this way, a wife cheating on her husband or a husband cheating on his wife. That's God's picture of when we go to something else and worship something else other than him. Spiritually unfaithful. Now we understand an idol is anything that you put in the place of God. What have we put in the place of God? Think about your relationship with your spouse. There are some baseline things you need to do to keep that relationship good, right? You need to talk together. Well, we talk to God in prayer. This is a tough one. You need to listen. That's God speaking to us in the Bible. You need to be home. That's coming to church. You need to stay away from others that would ruin your relationship. Other members of the opposite sex. That's an idol. You give them gifts. That's stewardship. You never talk about that. You if you're talking and you're married and you have a good relationship and you're talking to someone, you're going to talk about your spouse. That's sharing our faith. But listen, when we start moving all those things, we better be very, very careful. We're going to be unfaithful to our God. And that leads to the next thing. We become spiritually unholy. They worshiped him with abominations. Provoked they him to anger. Let me just say this. Any false thing we worship in our life, which becomes a god, it's an idol, we put it before God, leads us to a less than holy life. It always does. It's going to lead us to live in such a way that in God's eyes, it would be an abomination. Now look, think of it this way. Their worship of some of these idols was, and I've mentioned it before, it's very immoral. Most of the idols' worship involved immorality to some extent. Some of it to a great extent. And a lot of it dealt with also sacrificing children. Sex became their god, and the children became an unfortunate consequence. Hey, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like our politicians. Our society is circling the drain because of immorality. It used to just be, not just, but, you know, immorality and adultery and all that. Now it's transgender, all the nonsense that's going on. And now you can kill babies up until after they're born. And you have the New York state legislatures clapping because what is wrong with us? We're going back to the Bible days. That's what it is. But whenever, because we don't worship God, we've kicked God out of our country, so we're worshiping self, we're worshiping what we want to do, and whenever we do that, it's going to lead us down a path of a life that's an abomination to God. We become spiritually unholy. We got to be careful about that. But why does that happen? Look at verse 17. Because we become spiritually undiscerning. They sacrifice unto devils and not God. Let me say this. Any false thing we allow in our life that we put ahead of God really is motivated by Satan. Do you know, when we think of Satan, we think of, you know, pentagrams and sacrificing kittens and all that garbage. That's not Satanism. Satanism is you deciding what you want to do with your life. You know what Satanism really is? You're the God of your life. Now you're choosing these other things. That's Satanism. And we're undiscerning. We don't realize that the things we're doing are really motivated by Satan because he just wants us to do what we want to do. And it all started because we're spiritually unfit, so we're undiscerning. You know what? Sometimes you, if you're newer in here, you've been here, it's like, man, sometimes the church, you just say things that are just kind of straightforward. Do you know that's the job of the church? Is to take the truths of God's word, the principles of God's word, and to lay them out there so we don't get caught up in something that isn't right. If you're looking for someone to come and throw flowers, I'm not the guy. Okay? Now, I'll throw flowers sometimes, but, you know, I would hate to throw flowers and see people's lives messed up because they don't understand basic common sense things, and we fall trapped to these things. There was someone around the corner that was going to murder when you left church, and I knew about it, and I didn't say anything or help to protect, then I wouldn't be doing my job. Spiritually speaking, we need to be discerning. So many Christians are very undiscerning. We get caught up in so much stuff. We're letting stuff come into the church, you know, and it's just, it's hurting us. Now, let me say this. Take this the right way. A Christian who decides to serve God in his own way. In other words, I'm not trying to see what the Bible says. I just, you know, the thing where people say, I just have this agreement with God. This is just how I roll. That's great, but that's not biblical. A person who wants to serve God his own way by his own set of rules, making his own decisions, is a Christian, don't take this the wrong way, who is closer to serving Satan than he is serving God. Because remember this, if you didn't get anything, Satanism is when you are in control of your life. That's it. What did he tell Adam and Eve? Eat the fruit, you'll be God, you'll decide what's right and wrong in your life. Satan doesn't want to pull the strings in your life. He wants you pulling the strings. Because you know what, Brother Pichardo, if I pull the strings in my life, I'm going to make a mess of my life. I'm just telling you. I don't even know what strings to pull. But if I allow God to show me what to do, I'm going to be a lot better off. Yeah. And so don't get freaked out when I say it's Satanism, because that's his doctrine. That's what he teaches. And then next, we become spiritually unaware. To gods whom they knew not. What's he saying? That's not the God who brought you out of Egypt. That's not a God you've traditionally served. What do you think God said when you go into the land, you've got to kick all the people out. You've got to get rid of them. You got to exterminate them because their false gods were so evil. They were so wicked. They were so pagan. God knew if they didn't get rid of them, they would eventually serve them. Didn't we just finish a series on Ecclesiastes? What happened to Solomon? The wisest man who ever lived. He married all these women that had false gods, and eventually he worshiped those false gods. They were unaware. That's not the God they served. How many people get caught up? I know people that come to this church. Now they're into some kind of mysticism and all kinds of nonsense. Why? They never got it. They're serving a false god. Why? They're not spiritually fed. Next, we become spiritually unproven. He says, to new gods that came up newly up, whom your fathers feared not. All this new stuff. There's always a new God somewhere, right? I mean, that God wasn't working. Let's try this one. It's amazing how as human beings, we're always looking for something new to help us in life. You know what? I like the old. Because the old works. By the way, and maybe I'm going a little off cue here, but that we'll live. That's what's happening in our churches. We want to bring in new stuff, new music, new morality, you know. And it's, and I can already tell you where it's going to go. We went to a church on vacation, and you know, we were going to go to a church we knew, but down the street, 5 miles, was a church that said Independent Fundamental Baptist. And I thought, it's closer, let's go. And Sunday school was okay, but the service started. And the worship team came out. A lady with a pianist with a dress up to here. I'm like, what happened? Now, all those people that were there, they weren't in Sunday school. Josiah kind of got it, and he texts and goes, this is lit, okay? And it was a little, the train got derailed. I'll give him credit. He didn't preach for an hour and a half, though. So I was like, you know what it is? Let's bring this new stuff in the church, and we'll get more people. But what will we get? Godly people. Let's not bring stuff in the church that's going to bring us down a few notches. The Bible's still good. Well, you know, this is 2019. Thank you for sharing. I got that. I have a calendar. But you know, the Bible still works in 2019. Right. Principles of God's work still works in 2019. We don't need new stuff. I don't want stuff that's unproven. I know that the Bible works. I'm going to stay with the Bible. I know that loving God works. Let's just stick with that. I know that sharing my faith to others and just being in love with Jesus still works. Let's just stick with that. Why don't we just do that? But they wanted these new gods, and God's like, what are you doing here? Was spiritually unproving. By the way, you know God never changes. I'm glad I serve a God that's the same. But then they became spiritually unmindful. Look at verse 18. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and had forgotten God that formed thee. I just forgot all about him. You know, that's what God said. God said, what's going to happen? You're going to be prosperous in the land, and if you're not careful, you're going to forget about me. You know, remember the memorials that they would do in the Bible? The Passover. Well, what was the Passover? Tell your kids, we're gonna celebrate this every year so you can remember I brought you out of Egypt. Remember when they crossed over the Jordan River? What did they do? One man from each of the tribes grabbed a stone and they brought the rocks over and they built an altar. Why? So that years later when the parents were dead and maybe even the grandparents, it's like, what are those stones all about? What is those? Let me tell you the story. That's when God brought us into the promised land. See, God always wanted them to remember him. And God was always putting things in place so that they wouldn't forget God. Because if they forget God, bad things were going to happen. Let's not forget God. You can never praise God enough. Why? Because people who have forgotten the past are destined to repeat it. We forget about the day we were saved. And I mentioned earlier, we forget about what God has done in our life. Some of us forgot where we came from. I mean, God cleaned us up. God did some things. You know what happens? We're not careful. We start that same life that we rejected years ago because we knew what it caused. Now we forgot about it. Now we're headed back. You say, oh, I would never go back to my old life. I remember how miserable it was. Really? What did the children of Israel do when the things got tough in the wilderness? We remember in Egypt, we ate salad. Big deal. We had this and we had this. Really? You know what they forgot? They forgot the misery. They forgot the beatings. They forgot working long hours for no pay. They forgot all that stuff. They got a salad. Lastly, we become spiritually unprotected. What is God's concept over here? Verse 19. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. He hated it. He said, I'm done with it. I don't like it. And you know what God did? His hand of protection was off of them. So now those enemies they should have defeated, we're now defeating them. Read the history of the Old Testament. How many times when the children of Israel were right with God, when another nation would come against them and they were outnumbered, God would give them the victory. Miraculously. But how many times when they should have won, because they were not serving God, God brought them low. God brought them low. I don't know about you. I want God's protection on my life. I don't know about you. I want God to be a part of my life. And let me say, it's not going to happen if we are not spiritually fit. Now, I said a lot of things this morning. The bottom line is this. Are you spiritually healthy? Are you trending in the right direction? Are you trending in the way of spiritual health? Or have you just soaked it all in and now it's starting to fade in your mind and you're starting to drift? Be very, very careful. I've had people, you know, I would never get involved with that. That'll never happen in my life. And it does. Because once you start down that road, you cannot control how fast. You know, we went to, we hiked a couple places. We were on vacation to go see a lighthouse, and we had the little kids with, and you know, going up hills hard, you know, that sometimes we're coming down, and the little kids would run, but I'm like, be careful, because you know how it is when you're running downhill, the momentum starts to take over, and you try to stop, and sometimes you ain't stopping. You're going to roll, and that's the problem. I can control it. I just, you know, I'm not going to be this type of Christian, but I'm just going to stay right here. And I'm kind of, you know, come on, I got my life. Be very careful. God wants us to remain fit. Are you spiritually fit this morning? What have you done? What is going on in your life that is keeping you from being spiritually fit? The good thing about that is if we know what we need to do, if we know where we've given up, let's just get back to what we were doing. Let's not take advantage of the blessings of God and allow that to keep us from enjoying the God of the blessings. Let's stand together this morning.